Today we start on a new sermon series from the book of Romans, and we will spend the next 8 weeks on those first 8 chapters in Romans and in that book and looking at that letter. The book of Romans was written by Paul. It was written by Paul to a group of people, a church that he actually had not met yet. He had not come and visited them or been with them or seen them at this point in time. In the first chapter, he talks about how he longs to see them, and he hopes that they will soon meet and come together, and he says specifically why this is important to him. He says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. That is the power of this book, and the opportunity that we have as we study and read this together in the weeks to come. It has the ability and the power to impart to us a spiritual gift from Paul so that we can be encouraged in our faith. You see, this book is fundamental for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus. It has within it core and central truths for us to know and to understand in a way that they become part of our core. The truths and theology that is taught through this writing should be and can be, through our study of this book, foundational to our lives and the beliefs that we stand upon and that will guide our living. So no matter where we are in our relationship with Jesus, the book of Romans, it is for us. For people who have never heard about Jesus, who don't have a relationship with him, this book can teach those central truths, can introduce you to Jesus and why you would even want a relationship with him. For people who are already believers, it can remind you of those simple truths, which at time we need to be reminded of, brought back to. And at that same time, teach us deeper meaning of those truths. Call us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. It will be able to offer all of us, as the title of this sermon says, to solid living in a broken world. This is what this book has offered to people since its inception. One article I read even called it the letter that changed the world. In the summer of 386, a literature teacher from North Africa, then living in Milan, Italy, sat weeping in the garden of a friend of his, struggling with the meaning of life and even his own morality and how he was living his life, not happy with how he continued to choose to live in a way that was not becoming of a Christian. As he sat there, he began to hear the voice of a child. Some children were playing next door, and they were playing this game. And in it, the child continued to repeat, pick up and read, pick up and read. And there was a scroll there that his friend had been reading, so he picked it up. And he found these words from Romans 13. Say, let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. His life was changed in the reading of those words. And Augustine, who we know to be Saint Augustine now, his life was changed. And he wrote in his autobiography entitled Confessions, I neither wished nor needed to read further. At once, with the last words of his sentence, it was as if the light of relief from all anxiety flooded into my heart. All the shadows of doubt were dispelled. Because of the book of Romans, because of these two verses in that book, in that letter, He went on to be a leading pastor, theologian, and author. The Bishop of Hippo in the oldest city in Florida was named after him. Then an Augustinian monk, professor in Germany, was living and struggling in life, teaching at the university while at the same time struggling with his relationship with God and getting right with God. He was just struggling with his rightness in God. And he was led to Romans 1:17 that says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." As he pondered that those words, those specific words there at the end, the righteousness will live by faith, he came to understand the truth that righteousness was not based on his own thoughts and actions. He didn't have to be good enough or do the right thing. They were based on the grace and the mercy of God, and solely on God, that we are justified by faith in Jesus. Scripture took on a whole new meaning that day for Martin Luther. And as a result, a great movement of renewal took place in the life of the church called the Protestant Reformation, which we will celebrate its 500th anniversary later this year. And then one night, in 1738, Luther's preface to this book in Romans was being read at a Moravian gathering in London, where an Anglican priest reluctantly went. He was struggling with his faith, questioning if he really was saved. And as he listened, he felt his heart strangely warmed and felt as though his sins were forgiven. He did trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. Because John Wesley was changed that night through this letter to the church in Rome, England was changed. Did you know that it's estimated that John Wesley preached 40,000 sermons as he traveled nearly 250,000 miles on horseback? And so as a result, we sit here today. That is the power of this letter. The book of Romans has had on some people, and in the bigger picture in the life of the church and in the life of the world, as its fundamental and foundational truths have the power to transform a person's life. And so we look at this book together, a book that can have the power to transform our lives if we allow it to. These next weeks, I want to encourage you to do a few things. First is, as you come to worship, I want you to bring your Bible with you. If you don't have a Bible, please let me know and I will get you a Bible. If you're a person that allows yourself the freedom to write in your Bible and to underline in your Bible and to write in the margins, do it. If you're like me and you don't want to write in your Bible, bring something to write with. Take notes and see how God is speaking to you and how he's leading you, the truths that he wants to show you through this letter. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do is read it throughout the week. Read it in between Sundays. So today we're going to look specifically at this first chapter. Next week we'll be looking at chapter 2. So some people like to read ahead. If you do, read 1 and 2 this next week. If you don't want to read chapter 2 until it's preached, just read chapter 1 this coming week. So in between, before you get here next Sunday, read these chapters. The letter begins in chapter 1 with a greeting. With a greeting from and kind of like a formal introduction of Paul. His writings, in all of his writings, all of his letters in the New Testament, he brings greetings to them. He begins his letters in that way. But remember, he's never met this church before. So he gives a longer greeting and introduction in this letter. And so I want to share it with you from Romans 1, 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed to the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul introduces himself to the church there in those first words, sharing with them that he is a servant of Christ Jesus. Now, this may seem astounding because of who Paul used to be, a persecutor of the church, of Christians, of people that called themselves followers of the way, helping to bring those followers of Jesus into captivity, not only speaking threatening words to them, but taking them to prison, ultimately taking their life. No longer, though. This was not who Paul was anymore. He had been totally transformed into a servant of Christ Jesus. He committed his life to Jesus, to following Jesus' way, to spreading the message and the good news that he had come to know. He was a servant, obedient to Jesus, to him and to him alone. In introducing himself, what Paul really does, though, is he introduces Jesus. Everything about Paul and who he is was tied to Jesus and came out of who he had come to know Jesus to be. And his life was totally based on Jesus and defined by and out of, living out of his relationship with Jesus. Paul, as an educated Jew, had come to know the Old Testament and had lived according to the laws that were given in the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Old Testament. So as he entered into this relationship with Jesus, he came to understand Jesus was the one who was spoken through throughout the prophets. The foretelling of the Messiah he had heard about through their writings and their lives, it had come to fruition in Jesus. He had come to know Jesus, a descendant of David, he said, and also the Son of God. So Paul had come to know and was sharing with them this truth that he was fully human and fully divine. This was and is an important truth about Jesus. Jesus, he had come to know as resurrected, and Jesus as Lord, and not just his Lord, but Paul says, our Lord. Jesus had come fully human and fully God to be Lord of all. And therefore, just as Augustine and Martin Luther and John Wesley had come to know Jesus, gave grace to all and called all to faith in him and therefore to live this life of obedience. The truth that Paul makes clear to them is that they are loved. They're loved by God and called to be his holy people. This message was first given to the Jews. As he states in Romans 1:16, it then goes on to say, then to the Gentiles, to all people. Jesus, God's love, this new life in him, a holy life, was for all. So whether you're hearing this for the first time, or something that you have known for all your life, hear it again today from Paul in this letter. You are loved. You are loved by God. A love that is unconditional. A love that is for all people. Paul had come to know this love. Even though he had been part of the persecuting people, acts of hate, God loved him and God forgave him. He'd come to know God's grace and mercy personally. He'd come to know the gospel of truth that he's writing about, a gospel of love. And because of it, he was compelled then to go and to tell the world. For all people to know of his love and to be transformed by it as he himself had been transformed. And he says in this opening chapter these words in 1:14, I'm obligated This is how he had come to understand it, that he was obligated. Obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Paul wrote this letter. He lived his life so that all people would come to know the gospel, that all would come to know that they are loved, so that all would come to experience the grace of God and therefore place their faith in Jesus. He did this for the Romans and for the people throughout all of time, and now for us. So as we journey together in these weeks to come, may our faith be strengthened. May we have a deeper understanding of the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of grace, the gospel of love. A gospel that is for all people. And as we come to know it, to have this deeper, more intimate relationship, I pray that we not be ashamed of it. Like Paul, we too will become servants of Christ Jesus, letting all people know that God loves. That simple truth that God loves has the power to offer to us, has the power to offer to the world solid living in a broken world. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for this letter. This letter that you had placed in the Bible to share your word, to share your truths, to share the foundation of our faith, that you love us. That you love all. I pray we would accept this truth, Lord. I pray that it would change our lives. I pray that it would change the world. For I do believe that love has that power. So I ask that you do it. In the name of Jesus, amen. We had this wonderful opportunity now to go and do just that, to go and shout it out, to go and sing it out, to go and share it with the masses of the world, with the people in our home, with the people in our neighborhoods, people that we work with, whomever God puts in front of us. We have the opportunity to share with them this foundational, life-changing transformation truth. That God loves. He loves you and he loves the world. So go in that love. Go and share that love with the world. Amen.